this is an interesting one, and I want to welcome back to the show our friend Charles Cassidy. He's director of evidence-based wisdom. You can read some of his writing on intentionalinsights.org as well. Charles, great to talk to you again.
Ethan, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
All right, so when I read your article and I started reading it, it's called Are Friends the Enemies of Wise Choices, Charles? The first thing I thought, and I don't know that you directly addressed this, is, and I want to get in the article, but my first thought really was, don't we surround ourselves with people who think similar to us? I mean, generally speaking, so isn't an echo chamber created? And isn't that the problem, in the underlying problem in the first place, is confirmation bias that we surround ourselves with?
I mean, you've gone straight to the heart of it, which is what I expect from the Ethan Behrman show. That's what I like about it.
Thank you, Charles.
It's a really interesting point, especially in these sort of tribal political times we're living in. But there was, so if we look at climate change, so I'm gonna sort of take gloves off as well.
Thank you.
Here. Let's just go straight for climate change. The sort of consensus on climate change in the scientific community is that it's happening, it's real. So you would expect scientific literacy to be a good predictor of how much belief you had in climate change. And it turns out some research has been done recently at Yale, which suggests it's actually your political affiliations is a much stronger indicator of whether you're going to believe in climate change than how good you are at science. So you're absolutely right. There are sort of certain beliefs, certain ideas that are just badges of honors for different tribes. And that is ultimately what will shape your opinions and your beliefs.
Okay, so that's what, and I love in your example in the article, Charles Cassidy is joining me on the phone, is that you bought a car. You live in London. Why do you need a car living in London, right? And you're saying...
Yeah, right. And I was thinking, but just before I came on, there's probably a question that would surprise Americans that at the age of 41, I'm just buying a car for the first time. But
congratulations.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have cars here. And I'm a left-leaning liberal. I'm not, have lots of reasons for not buying a car. But I found myself buying a car recently. And this, running the project that I do, I'm which is looking at the science of taking wise decisions, I'm always trying to work out how we could take wiser decisions. And I assume that if you have good values, you'll take decisions that sort of line up with those values. That's what we all like to think. And here's me doing something so categorically against my values. So I was like, what's going on here? What is influencing me that isn't my own internal compass? And it turns out it's friends. Your friendship group can have a huge influence on your behaviors. And it's been mathematically modeled now. So things like obesity, if your friend becomes obese, your chance of becoming obese goes up 57%. Divorce, same thing can happen. So you have to look around at the behavior of the people that are in your group. And if you're uncomfortable with it, then you need to perhaps rethink who you're spending time with.
So when we get underneath that data, so you're talking about the data that supports the fact that if somebody I'm close to is overweight, my percentages are higher. If somebody's divorced, my percentages are higher. If they own a car. Because, by the way, you're talking to a San Francisco Bay Area audience, plenty of people here don't own cars either. Right?
Oh, right. I've heard it's quite a European sort of feel over there. I have to come over and visit.
Yeah, looking forward to you coming for a visit, as a matter of fact. And, I mean, I've been to London several times. Why haven't you been to somewhere? No, I'm kidding. I mean, I have, but we'll look for you to come, and then you can come in studio, and we'll have a nice chat. But there are plenty of people here who don't either. But what it is, I want to get underneath that for a second, though.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? I mean, so even the exercise that you just described, Charles Cassidy is joining me on the phone, director of evidence-based wisdom out of the UK. Just take that exercise that you did. I would wager there are very few decisions that we make in our lives. And we make hundreds of decisions every day, of course. How often do we even take the time to step back? I've done this as well and said, why am I making this decision? What is it about me? Where am I coming from that I choose to make a decision this way? We don't do that in the first place. So what is it? What is deep in us? What is in our brain? What is underneath all of this that pushes us into this arena of confirmation bias and ultimately tribalism and confirmation bias?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you go back to that example before about, your political affiliations more, being a stronger indicator of your views on climate change, it sounds crazy at first, if you think, well, I understand the science, why would I go against the science? But you've got to think, how important people's social connections are to them. So yeah. If you're thinking, am I going to stand up against my peer group and stand by the science, I'm not individually going to make that much difference to the climate of the planet, but by going against it, I'm going to damage a lot of my social connections. So what are people really trying to do? Are they trying to save the planet, or are they trying to sort of guard and be the custodian of their social connections? And I think that's what's going on with these incredibly important resources for us, you know, the people we know. So it's we're going to do anything we can to preserve them.
This is so really what you're saying in all of this, Charles, is, you know, when my mom, when I was a kid, would say, choose your friends wisely.
Right,
that's what you're
saying.
I mean, that's what you're saying, isn't this? Is that, like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just have to accept the fact, because it's been modeled quite clearly now, that whether you like it or not, that behavior is going to has a very high chance of becoming your behavior. So if you're comfortable with that, that's fine. But there is another sort of aspect to this, which is, you know, looking at the wisdom side of things, which is my particular interest. It turns out that just people being around, or friends being around, when you take a decision can have a huge influence on whether it's a wise decision or not.
Oh, interesting.
And I find this really interesting. So literally, the presence of others when you take that decision will boost the likelihood that it's a wise decision. So it is a good idea to have friends around.
So hang on a second. So I see two sides to that. So the peer pressure, in other words, we're watching you, and there are lots of data on this. If you know somebody's watching, you're not going to steal something. You're not going to, you know, make those types of illegal, you know, choices.
Yeah.
So you're saying that in general, peer pressure, I'm going to open the door for somebody. I'm not going to take that $20 bill that's sitting there, whatever that. But the flip side of that as well, though, is this. So you're going to buy a car if you're surrounded by friends who all have cars and say, yeah, we drive our cars. We're going to go up and go fox hunting this weekend. Next, you're going to take up fox hunting, aren't you, Charles?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there are two drivers here, and you're completely right. But the thing to consider is, you probably know this from your own experience, that we're all much wiser about other people's problems than our own. Yeah.
Right,
so you can easily give friend a great piece of advice, but you can't quite see so clearly your way out of your own pickle, shall we say. And there's a researcher called Igor Grossman who has actually flipped this on its head and said, well, if we consider our own problems as if they were someone else's, then we can access that facility to give ourselves wise advice. And he suggests referring to yourself in the third person, so kind of like Julius Caesar might do, or Ethan Behrman might do. You know, what should Ethan do? And that gives you this sort of distance from yourself. And what's going on with this, the fact that the presence of friends can help you take wiser decisions, is with other people around, you're able to get that distance from yourself. And then you get that broader perspective, and consequently, you can take the wiser decision.
So
he actually calls that self-distancing, and it's been really robustly shown in the lab. So it's a pretty useful thing that your listeners can actually, they can do today. They can start asking themselves, you know, what would Ethan do? Well, you know, if their name's Ethan.
Right, and I will make sure now, that is a great way to keep people away from me when I walk down the street, is to talk out loud in the third person, asking what Ethan
people
should do
that.
About... Yeah, it's a good, actually, it really is a good strategy for keeping people away on the street. But I like that. And so make sure to do it in the presence of others. And so don't just choose your friends wisely, but make sure to make these important decisions in the presence of others. This is great stuff. I will tweet a link here in just a minute. And Charles, it is always great to have you talk with me all the way from London. Charles Cassidy is Director of Evidence Based Wisdom. It's evidencebasedwisdom.com, and you can read his writing as well at Intentional Insight.